Radio.
You're listening to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast that explores the bold projects, exciting opportunities, and the growing reach of blockchain and cryptocurrency. Whether you've got skin in the game or you're just crypto curious, keep an open mind, enjoy the conversation, and stay CryptoCurrent. Now here's your host, Richard Carthon.
Hey everyone, your host here, Richard, and before we dive into today's episode, just want to give a quick reminder that we have a newsletter that goes out Monday through Friday that's powered by artificial intelligence. We have seen a surge in signups lately, and it seems like everyone's getting a whole lot of value out of this newsletter. So I highly encourage everyone to go on our website and subscribe to this newsletter. I think you'll really enjoy the content that's being served up. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And today I got a very special guest all the way out in Germany. We have Bruce Pahn with Ocean Protocol. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Man, I can't complain. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now, especially here in the U.S., but, you know, we can dive into that a little bit later. But, you know, before we get into this conversation, how about you start by giving us a little bit of background on yourself?
Sure. I was born and raised in Canada. I went to engineering school, got out, did business consulting and stuff. And I worked in America for 3 or 4 years, and I came to Germany about almost 18 years ago now. And I worked in the corporate sector, and then I ended up somehow in blockchain.
Very nice. So give us a little transition into, like, you know, what was that first introduction into the crypto and blockchain space? Like, what year was it? How'd you hear about it? And then, like, once you heard about it, what made you decide, like, huh, this could be like a potential career that I make out of this?
So I originally heard about Bitcoin in 2010. And of course it was just something just on the radar. Back between, I think, 2004 and 2013, I had been building banks around the world. And it came from this disgust from the financial system, actually, in 2008, when the banks caused all those problems. And I set it upon myself to try to build banks. And as I was building banks, I heard about this Bitcoin thing, just tangentially and stuff like that. But it wasn't until three years later, in 2013, where after it hit 1,000 or so, then a lot of my friends were starting to come out to me and say, hey, this sounds like something really interesting. And one of them came up with a business idea based on that and said, hey, would you like to help me do something about this? And at that time, I had been building banks for about 10, 12 years, and I was kind of getting bored of it. So I said, this sounds like something really interesting and a new technology that we should take a look at.
I got you. Okay, so your buddy's like, all right, here's this thing that I'm building. And you're like, all right, I'm in, let's do it. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what that was and what was it that y'all are trying to create?
So I had been doing a lot of research on kind of wealth, the wealth of nations and how you bring people up in the world and such like that. I'd been doing a lot of research on welfare and poverty and stuff. And it turned out that the number one way that you can bring people up is to give them their property rights, whether it's land property or something else. And there's this book called, I think it's Dead Capital, and it's by Hernando de Soto, and it's all about how do you do that. And the idea that my friend had was essentially putting intellectual property on the blockchain and giving people their kind of intellectual property rights on the blockchain. And that was the very, very first iteration that we started working on, which was Ascribe.io, and nothing less than saying, if the world's land value is 70 trillion, can we make intellectual property the same amount of value in the world? Because, you know, with artificial intelligence, with robotics, with just all the mechanization going on, the thing that people retain is their intellectual property. It's their creativeness, it's the ideas, and all those things that make us uniquely human. And that was the idea. So I said, after I was building banks and I got bored of it, I said, this is something that I could sink my teeth into for the next decade or two. And let's give it a go. So that was Ascribe.io that transitioned. I mean, we tried doing that. We tried putting intellectual property on the Bitcoin blockchain. I don't know if some of your listeners might have remembered, like, all the stuff with colored coins and using the op return for putting, like, snippets of information or claims on there, but that's what we tried doing on the Bitcoin blockchain. And obviously Bitcoin isn't meant to be that type of transport layer.
Right.
It's meant to be kind of a store of value, a means of exchange, that type of thing. And so Ascribe, we had to pivot away from that. But the idea that we got out of that was that, hey, if you can have a global blockchain that stores data, metadata, database data, this type of thing, then you can mimic that same concept of giving intellectual property and making intellectual property transferable over the blockchain. And so that became BigchainDB. About 3 years ago, we realized that if you combined data with blockchains, then that's the perfect input for artificial intelligence, because that is what data scientists need. They need to know that the data has a provenance trail, that the data is owned by somebody that they can take from. They have kind of the ability to ask, can I take this data? Are these your rights and stuff like that? And that has now become Ocean Protocol, essentially combining the best of blockchains, database, and artificial intelligence.
Thank you for explaining that. And it sounds like quite the transition between just the various companies and adapting to what is going on. And it sounds like a really nice blend to land where currently Ocean Protocol is. And you actually also had a recent article that came out, and that was really, really interesting, that I want you to expand upon. Ocean compute to data, which is allowing AI researchers to send their algorithms to data on-premise training. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So I think one of the things that's very obvious to people is that there's a lot of data in the world. We haven't even begun to get started with the sharing of the data that's going to happen. Yes, we have the Googles, the Apples, the Amazons, Facebook, and Microsofts having a lot of data, but that honestly is probably 1/20th, if that, of the data in the world. There is a lot of valuable data in supply chains, in pharmaceuticals, automotive, healthcare, government. There's so much data that isn't being shared because it's not properly valued. Nobody wants to lose control. Everybody's scared of their privacy rights being violated. And the way to monetize it isn't obvious and clear with the current system, because you have this globalized world, but you have localized laws, intellectual property laws, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And so Ocean is a solution to that. It's trying to be a borderless, decentralized solution where Ocean is just kind of the transport layer, just like the internet, where nobody controls it. Anybody can on-ramp to it. They can essentially put their data on there, and then they can try to sell it or make it available for others, and others can discover it. Compute to data is a specific kind of feature of Ocean Protocol on top of kind of the core technology we built. And it goes to the main problem that people have when they share data. It is, when I expose my data, do I lose it? Because the internet is all about digital, which has unlimited copyability. It's zero cost to store, zero cost to transport. As soon as you expose your data, it's gone. And that's why something like blockchain and Bitcoin is the perfect antidote, because the beauty of something like, for instance, compute to data is that somebody can make their data available, and the Ocean Protocol will help manage somebody else accessing that data, so that that data isn't exposed. And so we have this sophisticated activities in the background where the algorithm is accepted into kind of the data provider's environment. There's various checks that go on, and then the algorithm can run on the data, and then the only thing that leaves is the results. So it's not necessarily, there's no way that you can reverse engineer the data, and that protects it. So that is kind of the feature that we have just released and we're really excited about. There's a demo that's coming out in a couple of days, I think on the 3rd of June, that people can sign up on oceanprotocol.com, and just to learn more. Yeah,
and sounds extremely interesting, and something that people should be looking into, because just as you said, the use cases for this almost become endless of how powerful this can be. Can you kind of paint a picture of like some of the initial other use cases that you want Ocean Protocol to be able to provide?
Sure. So number one, this Ocean Protocol is a protocol. And so we need developers to be able to come on and quickly launch their data marketplace using the Ocean tools, libraries, et cetera. But then on top of that, I can use a specific example, the healthcare. right now we have a lot of healthcare data that's floating around, particularly in trying to solve this coronavirus problem. And there's not one central repository, nor should there be. Every country has got some very, very valuable data. And even in, for instance, in America, you got very valuable data spread across the cities, the health networks, the universities, et cetera. Is there a way that some scientists could go from, like a honeybee, go from data set to data set to data set and try to get insights based on that, whether it's the spread of this disease, whether it's types of symptoms, whether it's cures, whether it's treatment methods, these types of things. And so that is a use case on top that we couldn't foresee using this type of technology, but it spreads to other things. So one of the areas that we've been working a lot on in the past was automotive. Everybody wants to see driverless cars come out as soon as possible because they are fundamentally going to be safer than humans if they can avoid the objects, the edge cases, you know, some ball, you know, getting kicked onto the road and stuff like that. So, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so automakers have a ton of data. They're all scared to share it. And the ones who are going to win are the ones who currently have the most data. But it doesn't have to be just one winner. You don't have to just have like Waymo being the winner or Tesla being the winner. Everybody can be a winner. The sooner that we reach a minimum threshold where everybody feels safe, no matter whether it's a Mercedes, it's a GM, it's a Toyota or a Tesla on the road, knowing that they have this kind of data set that allows their autonomous driving to be completely safe. So these are just two small examples.
Yeah, and really great examples that I think people can resonate with. And just what people probably aren't thinking about is what is necessary to make these successful is A, just having access to all the data, but then B, being able to do something with it and to do something in a very quick and repeatable way. And it sounds like that is what Ocean Protocol is aspiring to be able to create in this environment.
Yeah, I think, you know, at the core of this, we've been in blockchain space. I've been in the blockchain space now since 2013. I've seen all the different iterations, and this is the promise. It's the promise that you have borderless commerce where it's completely trustless. I mean, we've heard that word over and over again, but it truly is that you're not reliant on Ocean in the sense that Ocean is like a Google that can like turn off your feed or do anything like that. You rely on Ocean, but because you can look into the open source code, you know that it's going to run exactly the way that you want it to. And then anybody else can start discovering this and finding out different things. So that's what we're trying to promote, where we have developers coming on, building a new business on top of that, that exposes data, that has kind of new features that allow people to do this. And then you can have some kid from like Mongolia coming in and taking this data, but paying you for it and using it in the way that meets the conditions that you've defined. And so that type of thing, when we go back to the original idea that we started from, this financial inclusion, this inclusion of anybody on earth, you could have some kid in Africa, some kid in Alabama coming in for a school project and accessing data that they wouldn't normally be able to access from Silicon Valley.
I understand like why this is important and like everything that can be built from it. I think it just goes back to the main point that you were making of getting the people to come on and starting to build on it and starting to show the different ways that this can be utilized. And you're not just the central entity that's controlling it all. It's just like you said, the trustless word that like definitely has been abused in this space, but like actually just you come on, you build this thing and you're trying to be the bridge between a bunch of islands that have been made. And this sounds like you're just trying to be a connector of data so that everything flows in a very seamless fashion.
Exactly.
And on that point, you know, you've said you've been in the blockchain space since 2013, and you know there are all kinds of crypto and blockchain projects that are going on right now. What are some that are on your radar that you're paying attention to?
I think the number one thing that I'm looking at is the DeFi space. So all these new, very thin tools, you can even just say plugins almost, that allow for the extension of the capability of Ethereum for reconstructing our financial world so that you don't have what's happening on Wall Street in and in London and stuff. So that financialization of any asset, whether it's data or cash, can be done from anywhere in the world. The beauty is that financialization isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like I said, if you can give people title to their property, you can give them something like loans. They can securitize it. They can use it as, you know, a collateral for something else. This is great stuff. So what happens if you could do that for data? And the DeFi tools are the tool that can allow this to happen. If you can allow for collateralization of intellectual property or a data stream or something like that, this is exactly internet and blockchain native type of stuff that's happening. A couple other things I'm looking at are things like governance. So you have various governance types of projects going on. One's like Aragon, where it shows kind of the importance of how you have governance in the decentralized world, because everybody's still learning how to do it, but you know, there's got to be some trailblazers who are working forward on that. And then there's a project that just released. It's called Luxo, LUKSO.io. And that is that reminds me of a scribe. What Luxo does is they're trying to put digital collectibles, kind of a little bit like, what do you call it? There's a virtual world, right? We're in the like lockdown, everybody's had, everybody's been playing a lot more video games. Decentraland, this type of thing, right? And so a scribe was actually kind of like the original thing, where it's like, what kind of digital collectibles can you have also? And Luxo is one of those that's working on this area. And they just came up with a very innovative concept, which is a RICO, R-I-C-O, which is anytime over the next year, any contributor can take back their contribution pro rata if they don't like what's happening. And the reason why this project is kind of interesting is not only just because of the idea and the RICO, but because the guy behind it is the guy who helped design the ERC-20 standard. He wrote the first browser. He helped create the first wallet for Ethereum. So this guy's got, you know, pretty serious chops. So I'm pretty excited about these three types of ideas: DeFi space, governance, as well as going back to the original idea of how do you give property value in a digital world.
No doubt, and I think those are really three great things to be everyone who's listening to look into and to expand upon, just because it's going to be very important as the future of crypto and blockchain space continues to develop. And it actually is a good transition into our next question. You know, with everything that's been going on in the world, 2020 has started off with a bang in a lot of ways, and is definitely set the tone for what the next decade could look like. You know, and in a lot of ways, I was expecting a lot more attention to be brought into the crypto blockchain space in the next 5 to 7 years. And I think that timeline has been expedited for sure. You know, what are some things that you think people should be paying attention to?
I think DAOs is something that's going to be a lot more important in the future. So many of these projects, they were started by one central team, and they lived and died by that. The weaknesses and the strengths of the founders, that's positive and negative. I think DAOs, the decentralized autonomous organizations, is an angle where we can get out of this kind of circuitous loop. You can have projects where the core team who kind of initiates the idea gives power and gives more control to the community sooner and faster. And so the resources of the foundation or the project get spread out faster. I think this is something that was unintentional with the Ethereum project, and that has worked out fantastically well. I'd be interested to see how other projects engage with DAOs and actually activate DAOs, multiple DAOs, so they can have this true decentralized ecosystem, so that it's not going to be dependent on that central team, because too many projects are dependent on that central team. Another thing specific to kind of what we're doing, and I talked about kind of Ocean as the transport layer for sharing data, talked about kind of the one of the features, which is privacy preserving compute, the compute to data. One thing that we can give is kind of data tokens. Data tokens is essentially access tokens, just kind of like a digital chip that you can use to access data. And why that type of feature that we're working on for V3 is so important is, imagine you're watching kind of like a boxing match. I remember back in the day when everybody wanted to like be able to see a match, like a really big boxing match in Las Vegas or something like that, and it was always pay-per-view. Well, with data tokens, you can still have pay-per-view, but you can actually make it so that that data token is bought and sellable, transferable. There can be an open market for it. So you can make it so that a boxing promoter could have like a million data tokens, so a million screens can be showing this. And then that data token can get bid up in a liquid market using a bonding curve or what have you, or just a plain auction. And And then that the real market price for that data token or that access token can be found. And that is a really interesting use case financialization that we're using specifically for OSHA protocol to start with, but it's going to have much broader applications, right? You could use this for an online course. You could use this for financial information. You can use this for, I don't know, access to the pod, this current cryptocurrency podcast, actually, these types of things. And it's a way for anybody around the world to monetize their data.
That is very unique and a very interesting concept. And I definitely see how that could play out. And is this something that's on the immediate roadmap, or you see this coming in the, or I know you said this is in more in the pipeline, but like that is a really, really powerful concept that I definitely keep me posted on that. Cause I think I can already see how useful that could be.
Will do. Happy to.
For sure. Well, man, you've dropped a ton of knowledge on us. You've given us a lot to think about, and I really appreciate your time. But what is a final thought that you want to leave with all of our listeners here today?
I think the crypto space is still young. So if you're just joining in, there's a lot of room for you. There's a lot of space for anybody who's listening to this to make a difference, to join a good project, to test out one of your ideas. We're always looking for ambassadors. We're looking for interested people who want to be with us on this very tough journey. And finally, I just like to thank the community for their support. The entire Ocean community, we have well over 10,000 backers around the world. We have a couple hundred ambassadors. We have a whole bunch of people on Twitter who are rooting for us. And we got people like you who are just kind of spreading the word. So thank you very much.
No doubt. So I really appreciate that, Bruce. And what are some different ways that people can connect with you and learn more about Ocean Protocol?
Oceanprotocol.com. And then from there, you have blog.oceanprotocol.com, docs.oceanprotocol.com. You can be an ambassador. There's a whole bunch of things you can do, but just go to oceanprotocol.com and you'll find all the information you need.
Excellent. Well, again, Bruce, extremely, extremely grateful for your time for us today and all the knowledge. And for everyone listening, stay cryptocurrent.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Cryptocurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency. You'll receive daily emails Monday through Friday that are personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. If you're finding value in our content, please take 5 minutes to leave a 5-star review and a great comment. Also, please make sure to share this podcast with others. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter, with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DERITTER Productions.com.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Cryptocurrent with Richard Carthon. We'll be back with more exciting developments from the world of blockchain and cryptocurrency next week. But until then, stay cryptocurrent.
Please use available exits now.